this series as we continue in the first lesson. This will be the second half of the first lesson. The purpose is to enable believers to come face to face with the evidences of eternal life. To come face to face with the evidences of eternal life. Let's look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Word of God, made flesh, dwelt among us, witnessed by many, written down. We are sure of this. We are sure of this because of the Holy Spirit that bears witness within ourselves. Lord, as we look into this Word of life, Lord, may we understand a little more clearly, a little more plainly, a little more personable this Word of life. Lord, we pray for our pastor this morning over at the Evans Chapel. We pray for the teachers in both buildings. We pray for the hearers and the speakers. We pray that your Word would go forth with power, that the Spirit would work in each heart, Lord, that you'd fill each spirit in these buildings. Pray for safety as pastor travels over in these bad roads. Lord, we're thankful for our pastor and his wife. Lord, what a blessing they are. What a blessing they are to us personally. Their encouragement is just amazing. Lord, we thank you for them. Bless pastor these next 25 years as he has a vision to start five more churches. Lord, give him the strength, give him the years, give him the people. Lord, as we see these men of God get older, Lord, their vision gets stronger and stronger for evangelism. Evangelism, Lord, we pray that you would bless their efforts, Lord, as they proclaim your word and as they encourage us to proclaim your word to a lost and dying world. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Might we love it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Down to verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. A testimony that we have from someone that spent much time with the Lord Jesus Christ. A sure word. We have a sure word. Turn with me to the book of 1 John, which is where our series will be covering. Jesus Christ is God's Word incarnate. Jesus Christ is God's Word incarnate. Incarnate being robed in flesh. Robed in flesh. Jesus Christ is God's Word incarnate or robed in flesh. Page 6 in your books. Page 6, the manifestation of the Word of Life. Manifestation, what is manifestation? Manifestation is disclosing what is secret, unseen, or obscure. Manifestation is a discovery to the eye or to the understanding. Manifestation is an exhibition of something by clear evidence. By clear evidence. We see the manifestation of God's power in creation. We see the manifestation of his benevolence in redemption. The manifestation of the word of life. Previous pastor had said to me, when you read the book of 1 John, read the book of John, read them together. Read them together. They go together really well. Read them together. You'll find that to be a blessing. In 1 John 1:1-2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. Was manifested unto us. Following along in your lessons, we find that John does not give us this account as one would give an account second-handed. He states, I was there. I heard his voice. Try to imagine the radiant hope in this man's heart as he says, I have seen the risen Christ. I have seen the risen Christ. I know he is real. I have handled of the word of life. What a blessing. The written testimony of here one and certainly many other places. The written testimony of someone that knew Christ, that knew him before he died, that knew him after he died. I have seen the risen Christ. How real is Christ in our daily lives? I'm a Christian. When I was 16 years old, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar, confessed my sin, asked God to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and save me. And he did that day. But what is Christ to us on a daily basis? Is he part of our lives? Is he a part of our lives? How real is Christ to us? They say that first-generation Christians have convictions. They found the truth, and it's real with them. First-generation Christians have convictions. They say that second-generation Christians have beliefs. And then that third-generation Christians have opinions. It's got to be real with us. We've got to be a first-generation Christian. This has to be real. This can't be an opinion. This can't be something our parents said. This can't be something that God's man said. Pastor tells us over and over, you've got to know it for yourself. You've got to have it in this book, why you believe what you believe. It can't be an opinion. It can't just be a belief. It has to be a conviction, something that we know to be true. John remembered the day when Christ said in John 14:9, I didn't assign scriptures. Who wants to read John 14:9 for me? Glenn? John 19:27, Kelly, 2 Corinthians 4:7, Amanda, John 15:11, Alan, Revelation 4:11, Rebecca. Okay, that first verse, John 14:9, big and loud.
Jesus saith, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
Amen. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, incarnate, made flesh for us. 1927. I assume so.
Then said he unto the disciple, "Behold thy mother," and from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home.
John was a personal friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord gave John the charge of his mother as the Lord died on the cross that day. He gave John the charge of his mother. John knew the Lord. We have John's written testimony of Christ and who he was, what his vision was, what he came to do. John's life was changed by Jesus Christ. John says in verse 2, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life." That eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. Christ existed before he came to earth. He was with the Father, and he was manifested unto us. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. 2 Peter 1, 15. We'll read 15 through 18. This reference is not written in your notes. You may want to write it in there. 2 Peter 1, 15 through 18. Actually, through 21. 2 Peter 1, 15. Follow along as I read. "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased.' We have not followed cunningly devised fables." We've not followed that. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have God's word. We have the testimony of men that walked with Christ. And then 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost." We also have a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. The manifestation of the word of life. Christ discovered there to those men that knew him. They wrote it down in a book by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a manifestation of the word of life. Secondly, I'd like to look at the declaration of the word of life. The declaration of the word of life. I married a beautiful young lady in Bible college. Over 33 years, I've told many people that I think she's beautiful. I've told her personally many times. I like her a lot. She likes me a lot. Are we perfect? No. But we love the Lord, and we love each other, and I love my wife. And I'll talk about my wife. Sometimes I refer to her as Mrs., you guys have heard me, Mrs. Ravert. I mean that very affectionately. I love my wife. I declare my wife to you. I declare her beauty to you. I declare that to you. Why? Because she's important to me. She means a lot. If I woke up tomorrow morning and she didn't wake up, you guys think I wandered around this church a year ago, I would really be lost. She means a lot to me. I declare that to you. Ken Beebe, going into stores, setting up displays or whatever, I don't even know what all you do. But he went in a store one day. You know what he did? He declared his Savior to everybody in the store. And the people on that side of the store got saved. And he went out to his car and got something and came back in, and the people on that side of the store got saved. What was he doing? He was declaring that which he loved. He was declaring that which he loved. What a blessing that is. Three people got saved that day. Four people got saved that day. What a blessing. Why? Because he declared that which he loved. The declaration of the word of life, following along in your lesson. You cannot know Jesus Christ without declaring him. You cannot know him without speaking about him. In 1 John 1:3, back to 1 John. First John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We must declare what we have seen and what we have heard. We must declare him. How do I declare Jesus Christ? I declare Jesus Christ by the day when I was 16 years old and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the sin in my life, and I realized I was no more saved than the man in the moon was. And I came to an altar that day, and I knelt there. Now, not everybody has to come to the altar to pray. Pastor prayed standing in a seat, right? He prayed standing in a seat. Many, many different ways. I'm not saying you have to kneel. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is there comes a point in our lives where we are saved, and we need to declare that. We need to declare that to others. I'm on my way to heaven. Is it because I'm a nice guy? No. Is it because I'm a good guy? No. What is it because of? It's because of what Christ has done for me. It's because of what Christ has done for me. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. Now, of course, there was a day in my life where I had to come to the Lord and confess my sin and ask him to save me. Certainly so. But the work was not of Chris. The work was of Christ. When we love someone and we know someone, we're going to speak about that person. If you and I are not talking about Christ, it could be that there is something wrong with our knowledge of Christ or our love for him. Perhaps we have permitted a fruitful knowledge to become an unfruitful knowledge. How would that happen? It would happen when we wake up and we don't think about the Lord. We don't think about his truths and his word. That's how it would happen. That's how a fruitful knowledge would become unfruitful. There would be no fruit. There'd be no fruit in our lives. We declare the word of life. We declare the word of life to those around us. Moms, declare the word of life to your children. The importance of mom and winning the children. You realize if each of us won all of our own children, it wouldn't take many generations. You'd have a lot of Christians around. Have a lot of Christians around. Winning our own children. Declaring Christ's love to them. declaring the word of life to them, instilling it in their fiber. We know the facts and the ideas and acute religious expressions to give, but Christ has become nearly meaningless to many Christians. How shameful that the name, the word of life, should not naturally flow from a Christian's lips. And I'm not saying that's you, but there are certainly many Christians. And there are times in our lives when we just seem to get so busy, and we look around, we say, what am I doing? I haven't spent time with the Lord. I haven't done this. I haven't done the first things. I haven't done the first things. And yet I'm so many hours into my day, whatever. Principal at the old school used to say, sometimes there's just so many things to do, I cannot possibly get out of the house without praying. There's just too many things to do in that day. I'm going to have to pray, or none of this stuff's going to get done today. Taking the time. The first century disciples suffered severe persecution because of their faith. In Acts chapter 4, they were told not to speak. They were beaten and threatened. Paul in Acts 26:19, who's got that? Acts 26:19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul standing before King Agrippa and others. And what did Paul do that day? He declared the word of life. He said, let me tell you, King Agrippa, I know you're a well-learned man. You understand the customs. You understand our customs. You understand much. He said, let me tell you what happened. Please be patient with me. And he declared to King Agrippa that day how he had gotten saved, what the Lord had done, what he was doing, breathing out threatenings against Christ and against Christ's people, delivering them to death. And then God brought the light to him. What a blessing. And what did he do that day to King Agrippa? He declared the word of life. He declared it. And King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me. Almost. Paul said, not only that I would persuade you, but that I would persuade everyone here. Why? Christ is worthy. Christ is worthy. Christ loved us. Christ died for us. He's worthy. We read in Acts 4, 19 and 20. We'll all turn there. Acts 4, 19 and 20. Acts 4, 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard of him. Seen and heard. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They could do no more and they could do no less than declare their loving Savior. What if it cost them their lives? What if it did? They couldn't do anything else. Because their love for the Savior was so great, they could do nothing else. We've passed from death unto life. How have we done that? We've done that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's Word incarnate, robed in flesh, sent to us. John 1:14. Robed in flesh. Then thirdly, the possession of life. The possession of the word of life. Possession, the having, the holding. That's a possession, the possession of the word of life. 1 John 1:3 and 4. 1 John 1:3 and 4. And the scripture says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy promised from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where joy comes from. Does it come from owning a new home? No. Does it come from a nice car? No. Joy only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, through having that peace in our heart that eternity is settled because of what Christ had done for us. That joy. What is that joy? What an offer. What an offer. Verse 4, that your joy may be full. What a joy. What a complete joy. Totally all that you and I could ever want. How are people changed so dramatically from a life of sin and self-service to a life of true joy in following Jesus Christ? The founder of the Detroit City Rescue Mission, his name was Evangelist Ken Ouellette. Do you guys know Rene Ouellette? Is that name familiar here? Rene Ouellette? No? Okay. But Brother Ken Ouellette, evangelist, traveled all around and preached the gospel, but he started the Detroit City Rescue Mission. And he one day, and as there was service to be done, and I was trying to get out of it, he said to me, "Brother Ravert, what have you been saved to do? You've been saved to serve, or have you just been saved for yourself? What's it about, buddy? What's it going to be about?" And what a blessing that he challenged me that day. And I took that Sunday school class 28 years ago, and what a blessing it was. Children's Sunday school, not adults. And what a blessing that was. But he said, "Brother, what are you called to do? Are you called to serve, or are you called to be served by someone else?" The Lord has called us to a life of service, hasn't he? He certainly has. He's called us to a life of service. People are changed by the blood of Christ. They're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What a group of people we would not want to be in, eh? What a group of people we would not want to be around. Verse 11, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We were in that group somewhere once, but the Lord took us out of that group, didn't he? When we repented of our sins and Christ washed our sins away and made us whiter than snow, then we were out of that group, weren't we? What a group we wouldn't want to be around. Such were some of us, but the Lord changed us. The Lord changed us, and what do we need to do? We need to tell other people, "The Lord changed me." Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. We possess the word of life. We hold the word of life. We have the word of life. We have it here in our hands. We can read it. We have its written testimony. When God manifests himself to us, he becomes real to us. And then we declare him to others. As we declare him to others, they come to know him, and they find joy that can only be found in Jesus Christ, the word of life. John 15:11.
"These things have I spoken unto you,
Amen. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. Amen. Fullness of joy comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through the labor of these hands, although the Lord does expect these hands to labor. As the Lord told Caleb, you go on this I might. He said, I'll do the rest. I'll be there to make up the difference. He said, but you go. You go with the tools God has given you to go with. You go with them. And you put them to use, not trusting them, but trusting God. Where is the joy the Lord Jesus has promised? It is in him, the word of life. The Christian life. We meet God in his word and in prayer. We serve God in this local New Testament church. We meet God in his word and in prayer, and we serve God in his local New Testament word church. The word of life is worthy. Revelation 4:11.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. The Lord is worthy. He's worthy. The word of life is worthy of our lives. He's worthy. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the Lord is worthy. The Lord did a lot for you. He gave his life for you. He is worthy of you to trust him. Christians, the Lord is worthy of you to give him your life each day. He is worthy. All right, let's go to our questions. By the way, if I ever say something that you're curious about, if you have to do it right then, ask me right then. If it can wait in private and you can minimize the embarrassment on me, that'd be nice. But if I ever say anything that you don't understand or that you don't believe is correct, please don't hesitate to see me. Don't hesitate to see me. Okay, questions. My name is given for Christ in 1 John 1:1, the word of life. And what do you think his name means? Say it louder. The word was God. What do you, okay, I want three other people. What do you think it means, the word of life? And what do you think this name means? Brother Ken Beebe. Okay. Okay. Someone else? Susan, did you have your hand up? Okay. 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 In your lesson, you'll notice here it says that it is the very expression of God. You notice that on the bottom of the first page, the very expression of God. Secondly, according to 1 John 1:2, what has been manifested unto us? Who has been manifested unto us? Jesus Christ has. That eternal life, Jesus Christ. Compare 1 John 1:1 to 3 and 2 Peter 1:15 to 21. What do these testimonies of John and Peter have in common? They were eyewitnesses. And they heard the Ken Beebe. The risen Christ.
Their faith was so strong that they were ready to die.
Amen. And they did.
Okay.
Amen.
The fact that they were ready. People don't die for lies. People don't die for things that aren't true. And the fact that they were ready to die for them
Amen. Amen. Okay, so they were eyewitnesses. And then secondly, they heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. They heard the voice themselves. Then Thursday, Acts 4, 19 and 20, when the disciples were persecuted and told not to speak about Jesus Christ, what was the response? We can't help it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, 11. How are people's lives changed? By the blood of Christ. Then notice 1 John 1, 4 and John 15, 11. Where do we find fullness of joy? Everybody, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.